This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
It's hour four of the Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We have Mike Golic Jr. coming up in about 20 minutes. LA Live's coming up here at 5:40 on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Pregame tonight at 8, first pitch 8:37. Tomorrow it's 2 and 2:37 as Kamar Rocker will be towing the rubber in Oakland. That might be the can't-miss game of the season, all things considered. They're talking about potential safety concerns inside the stadium as there could be protests as the A's fans are forced to say goodbye to their team and the final game at the Coliseum on the same day. Might get crazy, Chief.
Yeah, I mean, these Oakland fans, come on now. That the you get some old Black Hole Raider fans that are still hanging around, you know, the violence could skyrocket real quick on you. Yeah. Okay, there's going to be shoulder pads with spikes on them in that building tomorrow.
Yeah,
I believe it.
Some Niner fans probably mixed in there.
Oh,
all kinds of chaos.
The amount of shanks that could take place tomorrow are serious. There's as high as they've ever been for
a
baseball game.
They're talking about a sellout at that place.
Yeah, sellout. They're talking about maybe people trying to disassemble the stadium as the game is going on for taking souvenirs home.
Mm.
An absolute disrespect for authority, you know. All things are on the table.
Rangers might get him a win tomorrow.
It could get rabid. Well, we know CY wants that more than anything.
Yeah.
As many victories as possible.
There you go.
What have you done for me lately? It'd be nice you win the final game of the season, and then you can kind of take that momentum into the offseason with you.
Do you think he wants to win so much that if his team played pathetic, he would rant, like in a boardroom or on a sideline in a clubhouse? You bet your ass he would.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah.
CY right there. I bet he is such a savage. He would like nothing more than to hand the Oakland A's fans an L. In their
final fourth, game.
Yeah, yeah. Their last home game ever.
He's a true competitor.
He is. Yeah.
He's a true alpha, and we love him. All right, it's the 5 o'clock football hour here in the G-Bag Nation, presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-dubs is football. And nothing more synonymous with football than Brian Broaddus. What you got, sir?
Yeah, I got a couple things for you. Tomorrow, Dallas is wearing their Color Rush uniforms.
What do you mean by that?
That's the all-white uniforms, navy trim with white helmets.
Oh, the Arctics.
Yes. So,
snow flurries.
Yeah, they got Color Rush tomorrow against your football Giants.
Kind of stormtrooper-ish.
Yeah, so I know a lot of people.
If you're going to get your butt kicked, at least you're going to look pretty cool.
Everybody always likes to wear like the same color jersey that, you know, like if you're, hey, they're wearing white or navy, you know, whatever you're, you know, but tomorrow is a Color Rush game for the, I wonder if the Giants, they're not going to wear those.
Those
uniforms that wore in week one.
They're done paying
homage.
Looks
like the Montreal Canadiens jerseys.
Yeah, they're done paying homage to the ugliest, least aesthetically pleasing
that was kind of
era
weird.
In their
organization's
history.
Numbers. It was hard to find the numbers on those jerseys when they were wearing them. When I was watching film.
It was bad.
It was tough.
No, they're wearing their
homemade. The original's probably homemade.
Traditional blues, I believe, is what they're going with. Blue tops.
Yeah, well, Dallas is going Color Rush just for everybody who wants to know. And I also want to throw something else out to you because I'm learning about these metrics. Something they're calling it missed opportunities. The Cowboys have recorded 32 missed tackles this season. That's 14.7%, resulting in the third most yards lost to missed tackles. 241 yards lost to missed tackles.
Wow.
Would you like to take a guess who's missed the most? Well, this guy is tied for the most missed tackles with 9.
Clark. Ooh, on the team?
On the team.
Damone Clark?
No. It's a starter.
Kendricks?
No.
Donovan Wilson?
DeMarcus Lawrence.
Oh, really?
DeMarcus Lawrence is tied with the most missed tackles in 2024 with 9. Just a matchup thing just to kind of keep an eye on.
Wow.
Devin Singletary has forced 19 missed tackles in weeks 1 through 3.
Yeah, on a per-carry basis, nobody forces more missed tackles.
That's the third. That's the third most by any player in the league this year.
Yeah.
So keep an eye on that one for you.
You think our guy Tank might be a little washed?
I don't know, man.
Man,
I,
it's crazy because in that first game against the Browns, my gosh, it felt like it was a turn back the clock game. He was fresh.
He's
a little burnt out.
I can understand all the missed tackles. I didn't know the number was 32. To be honest, I didn't know they lost. It's like those hidden yards, the 241, and I wouldn't have guessed that Tank was the misser of all the tackles.
Yeah, that's quality information there. Brian Broad is getting a handle on these metrics, dude.
This is the next gen stuff that they give the teams.
Yeah,
this isn't stuff you can't even buy.
Well, the good news really? Is,
so that's a different because I.
Oh yeah.
Oh this you got the leveled up version.
Yeah, this is what all the NFL teams get on a weekly basis.
The shame.
Yeah.
Wow.
I should just go through every one of these. I mean, every one of these things.
Jerry's probably celebrating the fact they only missed 7.5 tackles per game in weeks 1 and 2.
Yeah.
You know, if you threw out the 17 that they just experienced, it's actually not that bad. I like our guys.
Okay, how about this, though? Okay.
Something to build on.
Okay, throw something else. And tell me if you think this is creative. They're calling this title Unique Personnel. The Cowboys have used 8 different offensive groupings this season. It's tied for the second most in the NFL. The Giants have used 9. The Cowboys have used 0 tight end plays at the second highest rate, 10%. Of one of just 2 teams to use such personnel on over 5 plays. The Cowboys have used 2+ running backs on 19% of their plays, which is the 7th most in the league.
Hmm.
I mean, do you feel like they've used a lot of personnel groups?
Well, a little bit, yes. I they haven't done much with it. In general, you love the idea if your team's got a bunch of different personnel groupings. You're like, okay, they're constantly keeping the defense on their heels a little bit with what they're going to throw out there. But I think the Cowboys have done this in some level, you know, with some level of necessity in terms of you had one game without Jake Ferguson, so you're going to pivot at times to be like, you know, we're just not even going to have a tight end on the field here. I don't know how much it really worked out for him.
Plus Scooney is terrible, so you don't want to put him on very often.
Span Ford. Watching him play gives me agita.
Singletary, the running back, he's recorded 16 carries for 65 yards with a touchdown in week 3, with 72 of his yards coming after contact, set minus 7 before contact. Singletary was contacted behind the line of scrimmage on a career-high 75% of his carries. He generated 4.5 yards after contact per carry, his most in a game since week 16 of 2022. All 65 of his yards on the ground came on rushes to the right side, 11 carries. He gained 0 yards on 5 carries going left.
Oh, wow. So everything was to the right side?
Everything was to the defense's left that he got. But all his rushes came to the right. All his positive yards came to the right.
It's like James Harden. Just make him go left.
Yeah, dude. Scouting report's out. Cowboys run, you'll be fine.
Singletary, do you think he'd have success with this Cowboys team if he was running the ball?
Well, he makes people miss.
Yeah.
He breaks tackles.
Yeah,
he'd be all right.
Yes, I'd say he'd be all right.
He'd be all right, yeah.
It's crazy. If somebody
make somebody miss and break a tackle, then you get 4.5 a carry. I think we'd take that right now, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we would.
Too rich for the Cowboys' blood. He's $5.5 million a year as a free agent.
Yeah, which I will be honest with you, that was a little bit more than I was anticipating him getting.
Yeah,
I don't know that I would have wanted to give him that much necessarily, but he's clearly better than anything you got in your running back room. What are you looking at over there?
Matchup to watch: Daniel Jones versus 4 or fewer pass rushers. Daniel Jones completed 17 of his 21 passes, non-blitz pass attempts, 81% for 143 yards, 2 touchdowns in week 3 against the Browns. And they look at this, the matchup, the Cowboys pass defense has allowed 32.8 success rate when using four or fewer rushers this season, the lowest rate in the NFL.
So they've been really good. The Cowboys have rushing four?
Yeah.
Daniel Jones has been dominating.
He's been, yeah, when you don't blitz him, last week, non-blitz pass attempts, he was 17 of 21. So.
Might need to dial up the blitz on him.
Might need to come after him a little
bit. Confuse him a little bit, yeah.
Try.
Get all up in his kitchen.
Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't feel comfortable laying the 5.5 with the Cowboys going on the road tomorrow night. I'll just be completely honest with you about that.
That might be a money line bet.
I do have, I know it's Wolchuk's Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock of the Week and his survivor pick, Cowboys victory. Vegas has him as a 5.5-point road favorite. But favorites have not been doing well to start this season. Before we play a little GTS, let's go ahead and hear from Rex Ryan, who was on ESPN Radio in New York. And remember, there were rumors about Rex Ryan being a guy that the Cowboys contacted about their defensive coordinator position this offseason. Didn't obviously get it. He explains why, and then he has some words for old Mike Zimmer.
No, 100%. I would have fixed it in a New York minute. But that being said, they couldn't pony up the money, or I would have been there.
Oh, no.
And so they never ponied up, and that was why I stayed, you know, here. You brought in a guy that was like 29th in the league his last 2 years at Minnesota. And, you know, it's in the enthusiasm he brings. You saw when he left, he blamed the players and I'm not going to talk to him. You know, they like that's the guy that's going to inspire you. Like, I don't know. I think it's this could go really bad for Dallas. Now, look, their schedule sets up pretty well for him, but this could go really bad for him.
I think that's weird and braggy from Rex, but that's kind of what we get, you know, and Rob has been very braggy and whatnot. I don't know why you got to take shots at Mike Zimmer. Maybe he feels like that's his job now that he's an ESPN talking head. But, yeah. I mean, Mike Zimmer is one of the most accomplished, and there's no reason to believe Rex Ryan would fix anything. I think that all these guys are confident, but we've seen Marinelli, Quinn and Zimmer all basically struggle with similar personnel. It's the guys. The front office never invested in defense for like a decade straight. It was all built around the offense. You'd have a bad defense, you'd show up and lose in the playoffs. And they decided to change that over the last 5 years or so, but they haven't been able to compile enough good players because they've missed on so many. The Leighton Vander Esch injury. You know, now the Sam Williams injury on top of that. They've hit on a couple of nice players, but other than that, they've tried to flush out the rest of the roster with, you know, just budget players, and you get what you pay for.
Couple of injury updates. Good news for the Bears. Wide receiver Keenan Allen on track to return this week versus the Rams. They need him for sure. You have Dan Quinn ruling out Austin Eckler after the concussion.
Inner ear laceration,
which is still one of the crazier football injuries. An actual ear holing took place, apparently, for old Austin Eckler, so he'll miss the game. Saw this friend of the show, Broncos linebacker Alex Singleton, played every defensive snap on Sunday despite tearing his ACL during the first quarter. Played 56 snaps. He had 10 tackles on the day. He tore his ACL in the first quarter, played through it the whole game. He's obviously not going to be out for the season, but what a monster.
To go out.
Yeah, seriously, dude. That's how you garner some respect there in the locker room.
Dude, that's your like lead story for the rest of your life. Like, yeah, I had 10 tackles with a torn ACL once. How you doing?
Yeah, that's my Twitter bio. That's my dating profile. that's all you need to know about me, okay? Tough as they come. All right, here we go. Little GTS on a football hump day. Bengals go to Carolina. Andy Dalton revenge game. What is the spread? We start with Brian Broaddus. Panthers at home. Bengals coming to town. Short week. Bad taste in their mouth. Desperate team.
Yeah, this would be Carolina plus 5.5.
Cincy minus 3.5.
This is going to be Cincinnati as a 4.5-point favorite. So okay. You guys are right there in the ballpark.
Split the difference.
Saints are going to Atlanta. NFC South game. Guess that spread. Gavin Dawson.
Atlanta's a 1-point favorite.
Atlanta getting 2.5.
Atlanta 2.5-point dog?
Yes.
I would have thought that as well with the way the Saints have been playing. But remember, Eric McCoy, their center, out. I think that's huge. And they're off a terrible game, of course, are the Saints. Falcons, 1.5-point home favorite.
Mm.
Nice work, Dawson. Back to you, Broadus. Jags go to Houston to take on the Texans.
Man, this is desperate game theory right here. This is going to be Houston giving 5.5.
Okay. Dawson,
where is it?
In Houston.
Who are they hosting?
Jaguars.
Houston's giving 4.
Houston's giving 7.
Oh.
Look at that. No respect for the Jags.
None.
Broncos go to New York.
Play the Jets, right?
Sean Payton versus Nathaniel Hackett.
New York -6.
6-point home favorite, says Dawson. What say you? Guess that spread, Brian Broadus.
I think, no, this is Jets given 4.
This is Jets given 7.5.
Oh!
Wow.
I'll take the Broncos on that one.
Thought Vegas had learned their lesson with some of these big numbers.
Okay, game of the week, perhaps. At least one of them. Vikings going to Lambeau Field. It's probably still going to be Malik Willis. Not sure. The Jordan Love stuff, definitely interesting. Green Bay's at home. Vikings are on a heater. Gavin Dawson, guess that spread.
Minnesota -1.5 points, Chief.
Ooh, road favorite there.
Pick 'em.
I like it.
Green Bay Packers, 2.5-point favorite at home.
Wow.
They're not.
Maybe they think Jordan Love's going to play.
Yeah, maybe so.
You guys buying the Vikings? I am.
I'm buying the Vikings, yeah. Mm-hmm. I wasn't after week one. After week three, I'm in. Let's see here. We have the Eagles going to Tampa. Eagles off a win going to Tampa before we get to Mike Golic Jr. here. What do you say? Guess that spread, Brian Broadus.
Tampa +3.
Ooh, okay.
Tampa -1.
Tampa +2.5. Nice work, Broadus. You go out with a nice little bit of a bang there. Yeah. There it is, a little GTS, week 4 style.
Thank you, Chief. Football's finest, most afternoons, 5 o'clock here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Tomorrow's game, by the way, tomorrow's Rangers game on KRLD-AM. If you want to stay locked in on Rocker, of course, we'll have the pregame show here for your Cowboys visiting the Giants. And the official pregame is going to get underway at 4 o'clock tomorrow. We are back with Mike Golic Jr. talking NFL and college football with him next here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
5-3 The Fam. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time to chat with Mike Golic Jr. from DraftKings. You can catch him with his dad daily. Segment is brought to you by the on-time experts. We have LA Live with Lucius Alexander here coming up in about 14 minutes here on your home of the Cowboys. And a good afternoon, Mike. How the heck are you?
Doing well. How you guys doing?
We're doing wonderful. Are the Irish trying to get your money right to go after Sluka here? We have fresh guy on the market. What do you think?
You know what? I think at this point, Notre Dame, especially at the quarterback position, this is as much depth as we've ever had in my lifetime. But I hope someone goes out there and gets that guy's paper right, man. I want everybody to get paid.
What do you think about the idea of leaving midseason? Like, I don't know what happened. I think it's just a sign that we need to get some sort of formal agreements or contracts to establish what the dynamics are going to be.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best and most clearest takeaway that we can get in a situation where it's become clear since this morning. Both sides are trying to get their version of the story out there. I'm always leaning pro players, so that's the client I'm more inclined side I'm more inclined to believe. But I understand these are complicated pictures, but the clearest part in the middle is everyone involved would have benefited from some sort of written agreement. And everybody involved in college athletics right now would benefit for some blueprint that we're all aware of that conducts these agreements. And right now that's not something we have, because college football has decided for a long time to masquerade under the idea that amateurism was a real thing, when this has always been big business. And acting like the players aren't employees doesn't actually help anybody involved, most specifically the players. It's how you wind up in a situation like this. So I was kind of talking about it with Dad this morning, though, equating it to the NFL, where you look, hey, the players are employees. What does that mean? You get a collective bargaining agreement. What does that mean? Ownership can make it really difficult for players to hold out and try and use the withholding of their services against the teams involved. That's why you see when players hold out in the offseason, it rarely makes it to the regular season. And even when it does, you still got to get in by a certain point so that your contract vests. So you get all this other stuff. In college ball, because we're trying to act like these guys aren't employees, the redshirt system actually incentivizes these guys to go out and withhold their services so that they don't lose that year of eligibility, so that they can go get paid somewhere else. So it's one of the rare places where players truly have some leverage in a situation like this, and I doubt this will be the last time we see someone work this.
Do you think the programs have any recourse or playback on this? Or they need some help from the rule book, don't they?
Oh, yeah, and I mean, again, it's one of those things where if a player's coming in and asking for more money later on, remember we heard Mike Gundy reference this earlier in the year where he said, hey, we got clear windows where this is going to happen. It's all about where you stand. If you're an incredible, transcendent quarterback, and I'm not saying this kid is, by all account, he's fine, he's a good player, but he's by no means the second coming. If you are a player that is the second coming, though, if you were Caleb Williams and you were a place maybe that doesn't have as many readily available quarterback prospects as USC and you want to hold out, you're kind of worth what someone's willing to pay you, and you're operating in a free market with no restrictions. So the coaches might need some help there, but this is also a spot where the players need help, because if it is true in this instance that a player was promised money that he wasn't given, I don't know about you guys, I'm not showing up for much work either if all of a sudden my employer decides, hey, I'm going to tell you I'm going to pay you one thing, and then a month into the season, you're not going to see a dime of that. Mm. I don't know of anyone that's going to show up in those circumstances.
Yeah, true that, true that. Now, as it pertains to on the field, big one, of course, this weekend with Georgia and Alabama. How do you see this one going?
I would still probably lean in favor of the Dogs. I think Kalen DeBoer's come over and done a phenomenal job at Alabama so far. We saw them weather a couple early storms. You know, the USF game was a little bit closer until late. You obviously powered through Wisconsin on the road in one of those real big out-of-conference matchups that we all sort of circle at the beginning of the season, because they're good helmet sticker names, knowing full well, hey, Wisconsin probably not in the place for year two under Luke Fickell to be a true measuring stick. But I think on the other side for Georgia, sustained some injuries that they had to adjust with during that Kentucky game that was a lot closer than people anticipated. They lost Tate Ratledge, their starting guard. He got that tightrope surgery. They're hoping to get him back for the push later on. But you saw them in that game. They were a little bit out of sorts. They had to go and try and adjust that line on the fly. And so the offensive execution suffered while the defense still looked every bit as vicious as usual. And I think that's just the difference. This team is so deep and talented on defense. And offensively, I think now with the benefit of time to go reset that group up front, get the game plan together, accounting for that in mind, and knowing what Carson Beck's still capable of at quarterback, I think ultimately Georgia's got what it takes at this point to flip the script on the Tide, who we know, hey, they haven't met in the regular season in a while, but in the postseason, most recently as last year, Alabama screwed up a lot of Georgia's grand plans, looking like one of the best teams in college football.
Mike, have you gotten used to, with this conference realignment, some of these games that we've had? It seems kind of strange with the you know, when you get the Michigan-USC game, and I usually think that is a Rose Bowl matchup, and then USC this weekend's got Wisconsin. Have you gotten used to the realignment so far with some of these games?
You know, last weekend was the first time it really hit me, because you're right, we had that combination of, you know, I'm out in Southern California now. I live out here, and I've joked with everyone and enjoyed saying, oh, I'm in Big Ten country now every time I see USC and UCLA hats. But seeing them go on the road to the Big House and that be a conference matchup, seeing Tennessee and Oklahoma as a conference matchup in the SEC, and arguably the biggest game of last weekend, where Tennessee firmly entrenched themselves, I think, in that second tier of teams that's capable of certainly making the playoff but also winning the national championship. Yeah, it was a weird one. And you know, Tennessee ready for that moment, certainly. Oklahoma, listen, we knew coming in Texas was probably going to be more suited right away for the jump than Oklahoma was. And it showed OU was replacing a whole offensive line and going up against the Tennessee defense. It's one of the best in the sport. That was a matchup that I don't think they were necessarily ready for. But, yeah, it's been a weird time, man. It's definitely going to take some getting used to.
Well, and I was going to ask you, is this, though, what we're going to get to eventually with, you know, the super conference with 40 college football teams, the best, and you'll have these types of matchups every single weekend? Do you envision something like that? I mean, it seems like the appetite for these games just appear to be outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, that's why all this is happening, right? Because this is the sport designed now by television executives who saw all the eyeballs you get when, hey, it's Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State, Oklahoma early in the season, and all right. These games that, hey, listen, we're allowed to get excited about, too. Like, I understand the sport's changed a lot, and that's difficult for a lot of people, but I got excited seeing Tennessee and Oklahoma on the schedule. I got excited seeing USC and Michigan. So I think it's that understanding that we've sacrificed some of the regionality of the sport that's always made it so great, that's made it one of the things that I've loved most in my lifetime as a sports fan, as someone that was fortunate enough to play big-time college football at a place like Notre Dame. I hate what we've lost in that, but I also understand, hey, especially for those of us just sitting here nationally taking a lot of this in, man, there's going to be some really fun matchups to come because of it, and I think it's the reason we'll eventually see something resembling a Super League.
It's Gojo, Mike Golic Jr. with us here in the G-Bag Nation. What'd you think of Arch Manning's first start?
Kid's impressive. I mean, you know, first start, you can go back to the game that, you know, he came in and stepped in for Quinn when he was injured, too, and just how quickly he looked comfortable. Don't get me wrong. There are still areas where you see freshman-level processing, especially compared to Quinn Ewers, who I thought was playing Heisman-level football coming off the win on the road in Ann Arbor against that great Michigan defense. But for Arch Manning, he's incredibly physically gifted. We've all made the jokes at the expense of Peyton and Eli, reminding everyone that he is, in fact, the receiver Manning's son and not the quarterback Manning's son, and that's very clearly evidenced by the legs. But incredibly powerful arm, incredible poise, went into the week with the ULMD coordinator giving everyone the bulletin board material about how some of these guys have played and beat him in high school and yada, yada. Quinn Ewers going down, obviously a net negative for Texas. You want to get him back for all the goals and dreams they have this year, but we got reminded Texas has the deepest quarterback room in the country and the future is very, very bright in Austin.
Looking at the rest of the roster, do you see them as a strong contender, the favorite in the championship picture this year?
Yeah, I would have them as the favorite right now. I mean, defensively, we know they lost a lot in the middle, but instead of building the ship out of defensive tackle bodies like they did last year, they're just building it out of pass rusher bodies this year. And I think so far we've seen that hold up pretty well. And then offensively, I think it's the best offense in college football. I think Steve Sarkisian's the best play caller in college football. And Quinn Ewers and his development, I think especially this year, pocket manipulation is what comes to mind. He's not an overly gifted athlete. Arch is certainly a better overall athlete, but the way that Quinn Ewers can buy time in the pocket, move around, step up, and get defenses to draw into him only to deliver strikes downfield with a really strong arm, it's been on display. It's honestly kind of like what we're talking about right now in the NFL with Josh Allen, where an unproven young group of pass catchers came into Buffalo, and Josh Allen is good enough to will them through those because he's ascended to that level of quarterback. For Quinn Ewers, incredibly talented players who had played a bunch of college ball that they portaled in that receiver room, but a whole hockey line change from the group he was passing to last year. And it hasn't really mattered because their O-line is really good and because Quinn Ewers is taking that step to being a full-blown game wrecker at quarterback.
Mike, I need some help in the NFL and my survivor picks because I'm 0-3 in picking these survivor picks. What do you make of so many of these upsets, you know, these high lines that some of these teams have had to deal with, but so many upsets through the first 2 weeks of the NFL season?
Yeah, it's a good reminder that as opposed to the college counterpart, even for teams like we saw last weekend with the Carolina Panthers who went out there and got their first win of the year, the talent margin is razor thin. Everyone is really incredibly talented at this level, and so coaching matters. The week-to-week individual matchups between certain teams matters. It's a styles-make-fights league, and I think right now, as we're sort of at an inflection point with the way the league was for the last 5 to 10 years, where it's pace and space, the offenses are more wide open, and everyone thinks of the 2020 Kansas City Chiefs that were going over the top on everyone, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, everyone like that. And now we're at a point where defense has adjusted to that, offenses are having that deep play taken away. And so now that everyone's shifted back to running the football, there are some teams equipped to run and stop the one right now, and there's others that aren't. And that old cliche is coming back to be a reality because you get teams like Dallas who had sold out so much to stop the pass that they left the middle of their defense hollow. Cincinnati and the Bengals kind of in the same mode. And so it's created this imbalance where we got great quarterbacks and high-flying offenses that don't really get a chance to get out of first gear right now. And if you can't do the simple stuff right anymore, it's created an opportunity for a lot of teams to win games with the margins much closer.
As a football guy and a foodie, Mike, I'm curious how you took in the K-State fan and what he's doing with the five-layer burrito. Are you here for the content creation, or is that just a huge waste of a great five-layer burrito?
Yeah, I'm inclined to go with the latter on this. Don't get me wrong. I am I call my generation, I'm 35. I'm the last of the daywalkers. I had life before the internet started dialing us up on AOL when I was a kid, and now I have been a part of a world where the internet has taken over. And the attention economy has got us to the point where people, especially college football fans, decided that they want to either eat what comes out of their butts or put stuff into their butts that's not supposed to be going in there. So I don't know when that became the MO for us as a college football watching public, but I think we need to leave this behind because the question that always comes up anytime content's being made is, who's asking for this? And the answer is no one, and we need to keep it that way.
Leave it behind. I see what you did there.
I can't help myself.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys.
Enjoy it. Mike Golick Jr., watch him on DraftKings with his daddy. Apparently, he's got no problem calling him dad.
No.
You know, unlike LeBron and Bronny and Steven Jones.
He doesn't call him GOAT.
903 says, this guy is a lot. He's incredible. He's an encyclopedia.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually someone that is that smart and has that much information stored in their brain has zero personality, right? They're freaking robots. They're they're nerds. But he's got the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
He's a jock and a nerd and a hell of an entertainer at the same time, and we're lucky to have him as often as we do.
He always delivers.
He does.
Always. Anytime you ever talk to him, you feel like you got a little smarter and then got a smile on your face because of the stuff he said.
For sure.
Great guy.
It's time now for LA Live. We go into the Pimp Cup. Here's Lucius.
Oh, okay. Well, hey.
Wait, the glasses are on. We got to get going here, right?
Yeah, hey, I'm back. And I feel good, too, man. Nice. I've been out of it for the past 2 days, trying to recover from what I did to myself Sunday night.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's right.
No. Yeah.
Two-day hangover.
Well, I never was hungover. It just wasn't myself.
Okay.
I did black out on Sunday night. I have no idea how I got home when I got home.
Yeah.
The dogs were fed, and I was put to bed. I don't know how it happened. I don't know how it happened. Who done it?
Somebody to thank, somebody to apologize
somebody.
To.
Now, I had 30 wings when I woke up, and there was only 8 left.
Did some work.
I had some help by somebody out here. I have no idea, though.
Somebody helping you out.
Maybe the dog.
Yeah. Might have been the dogs. Don't drink on an empty stomach, and just stay away from the alcohol, period, folks. Please. It's not what you think it is anymore. All right, let's get into a hump day edition of LA Live, right into the great Rick James. Speaking of alcohol.
Well, all right, you squares, it's time you smoke. Fire up this funk,
and let's
have a toke. It'll make you dance with some of everything.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody get high.
And now the agent for Hurst has come out and said he will file a grievance against the Patriots that, according to NFL rules, the club should not have been able to release his client because he was injured. The agent claims that at the request of the team, Hurst has been playing with a bulging disc in his neck since the start of the season.
It's butt naked Wednesday.
It's hard to breathe.
Steve Levy, you dog.
Wearing that boy's neck out, you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is LA Live for Wednesday, September 25th. Wow. 25th of September already, fam. September, slow down. Where you got to go? 2024. It is a butt naked Wednesday here in LA Live. Word to Miss Badu. I too was born underwater with $3 and 6 dimes. Peace to the gods. And it's still rest in paradise, Sam Putney. G back of the day, we do it every weekday here on The Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up. Please hit me up, shorty. That folder's looking kind of light right now, bro. Help me out. I like my folder looking thick. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
I like my folder thick. Plenty to pick from. Hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook. Or you can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter, which pretty soon I'm going to be off of Twitter. I'm going to have to let old Twitter go. Yeah.
For sure, got to hit the following button. The For You button is just absurd.
God.
Yeah.
Twitter is awful right now. And then I block accounts and mute accounts, and I still see them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And most of these accounts are like bot accounts where they're not real accounts. It's just like aggregate just bad information on people, and people just retweet it. Oh, my God. I'm out of here soon. But in the meantime, I'm going to have fun. It's going to be hard trying to, like, find all my favorite follows on the other accounts. You know what I mean? Mm. All right, our winner right here, Mr. Ari Spears, comedian Ari Spears. In some circles, he's called the Gooey Raccoon.
Hey.
He is called the Gooey Raccoon in some circles.
Backstory and a half.
And Sage Steele is here. Well, it's just a who's who on this one right here. Sage Steele. He was on Sage Steele's show showing off some of his impersonations, and he has one of Tony Soprano.
What's your best impersonation? Your favorite.
Anything that's new feels like a new child. But I love Tony Soprano because, one, it's a white guy, Italian, and nobody expects you to do that. Ask me a question.
Tony, what did you do with the body?
Like, it doesn't matter what I did with the body. All the guys are going to bury it. Show pussy Christopher. They know their position. I'm from the king of New Jersey. I'm in the underbush. Uncle Junior and Johnny Shack. Maybe can bury it behind a bottle of pig. It doesn't matter. It goes where the say it goes.
Oh my God. Like, I'm watching your mouth when you do it. That is that the key?
Like, like I said, notes. Tony is ish. Talk about my sister Jadish.
Hey.
Uncle Junior and Johnny Shack. So then you gotta have that metal with AJ. We go down to Arvio, Asumios, Audio, Kabunkas. He's got the better guy with the gravy.
That's a different language you just spoke.
Oh, God. He's trying to show out, bro. He was trying to show out in front of old Sage right there.
He did, man.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, clearly it worked.
Oh, my God. You're just blowing my mind away.
LA Live 105.3 The Fan on the Butt Naked Wednesday. I have a what to watch list.
Ooh.
Also, I have questions for the Tolos. But I got to get to this what to watch list real quick for you.
I got one.
Oh, good for you. Hold that for a sec. Okay. Oh!
I never had cable at the house till I was like 17. So when we would hear this,
yeah,
it's like we made it.
It's an event.
We can afford the $18 a month here.
Yeah, it's an event.
1991.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cable box that looked like a little shoe box, and it had maybe like 32 little buttons you can hit on it. That was the first one I remember.
Like Cox Cable or something, you say?
I don't know.
KOX.
Let's see. What's a watch list? Into the Fire. I don't know if anybody has seen Into the Fire on Netflix. Into the Fire, The Lost Daughter.
Ooh.
A mother discovers the daughter that she gave up for adoption many years ago has disappeared. And the biological mom is looking for her.
Oh.
I think she got like a phone call saying, hey, we found some remnants of this daughter. Can you?
Nope.
Woo. It's amazing, bro. Eric, watch it with your girl. It's amazing. Anybody, like, you know, say, there's no sports on football tonight or whatever. You want to watch the Rangers? That's cool. I get it, all of that. But I got your back if you want to sit down and watch something with your girl because she says, you don't spend any time with me. I got you. Into the Fire, The Lost Daughter on Netflix.
True story, man.
It's too good.
Oh, my God.
It's too good. Hold on. I'll give you a little clip. It's not going to be much, but it's a clip.
She'd been missing 21 years when they finally found me. I was only 17 years old when I put my daughter up for adoption. Throughout my life, she was always in my mind. When I found out she'd went missing, I thought, I gotta find this kid alive. I don't care if I have to walk over God's green earth, do it. If I couldn't do anything else for her, I was gonna do this.
And the thing she finds on the way will blow your mind, bro.
Can't wait.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Into the
I was reading a story yesterday about a kid that got kidnapped 68 years ago in San Francisco.
Wow.
They just found him in New York, 75 years old.
Wow.
I did see a headline about that.
With the DNA, you know, test. And they were like, whoa, I think you got a half cousin or something living out there. Turned out it was this gal's brother.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he didn't even know he was being kidnapped? He's like,
he kind of had foggy memories of it, but whenever he would ask the adults, he was like 6 years old when it happened, went to the park with his 10-year-old brother. You know, 10-year-old brother was ignoring him or whatever, and boom, got snatched. So he kind of had an idea, but he liked the people he was living with.
Hey.
Like they kidnapped him to raise their own son. They didn't kidnap him to like... You know,
got
things.
Kidnapped by Mr. Drummond.
Yes. So
appreciate it, sir.
Moving on.
Yeah, another one right here. The Evolution of the Black Quarterback is on Amazon. 3-part docuseries that follows Michael Vick as he goes around and talks to all the black quarterbacks that ever played in the NFL and their stories, what they do on and off the field and their impact in the NFL and the story of the black quarterbacks is pretty good so far. I just finished episode one.
Good to see you guys finally figured it out. I wonder what took so long.
Another one right here. Monsters, the Lyle and Eric Menendez story on Netflix. The acting in this one is insane. Ooh. We all know the story about the Menendez brothers, right?
Yeah.
Is this they've done this before, isn't it?
No, this is like a series, like a docu-series where there's actors.
There's actors involved in this. I thought it was the actual documentaries of the trial and stuff like that.
Killed their dad, right?
Mom and dad. They're going to win a whole lot of awards for this one right here because they are acting their behinds off in this historic case. They are acting. There's some real good acting right here. And Rebel Ridge, I have that in the queue. Plan to watch Rebel Ridge. I can't tell you anything about it, but it looks good. If you've seen it, hit me up. Okay, you seen it? It's pretty good.
I would say I would pass on it, Lucius.
Okay.
Oh, I watched that. Uh-oh. I would say half decent.
Okay, no. Six and a half. I ain't got much time out here.
I don't think because I watched it the other night, and I was kind of left with okay, and that was it. I didn't think it was very good. I would give it a 4.
Ouch.
I hear you. I
see
what you're saying.
I'm going to take it off the list.
Don Johnson actor?
That's why we say it out loud. That's why we say it out loud.
Yeah. I thought it was good. What's the text thing?
They'll let us know in a second.
I mean, it's not like a 20 episode deal you got to watch. It's a 2-hour movie.
Yeah. And I kind of was, you know, following along with it. And then I just went, nah. Uh-uh.
I might have appreciated the message a little bit more than you. I mean,
did you?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Now I want to see the message. All right, I got a question for the Tolos on the Butt Naked Wednesday. Be careful out here on these roads, folks. Vibe out to that Isley Brothers. Yeah.
Yeah, I like this show, Supacell. Sorry, Lucius, I'll make it short.
No,
Supacell.
I think I know what you're talking about. The British guys?
Yeah, the British superheroes.
Yeah.
Okay, amazing. And then Mr. In Between. Which is like an Australian Dexter, but he's not, a serial killer. He's a hitman, okay? And he has to kill people, and then people are coming after his family. It's the same type of vibe, but it's in Australia.
Okay.
Yeah, a little more raw.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, okay. Yeah, question for the Tolos. Give us some random advice. I asked this to the Tolos that follow me on Facebook. Fellas, what's a Tolo?
Turn it on, leave it on.
All right, turn it on, leave it on.
You wake up in the morning with Sean and RJ, you listen through into the KNC Masterpiece, and then you roll home with the G-Bag Nation.
That's what I'm talking about. Give us some random advice. Got a Tolo that said, check the batteries in your smoke detector. It can save your life. That's a fact, Jack.
And the problem is, if you take the smoke detector off the wall, you can't get it back on.
Oh, that is a real thing.
Why is it so difficult to do that? Why?
Nah, you're right about that. It is a real thing. If someone offers you a mint or some gum, take it.
Always take it. Always.
Hinting.
Yeah.
Unless they take the gum out of their mouth and offer that one to you.
Just pull it out of their pocket and it has a little lint on it.
Yeah.
It blows it off. Clean your windshield wipers when you fill your tank or charge your car.
Yeah, it'll extend their life pretty good.
We have a problem with windshield wipers here because of all the heat.
Yeah.
They don't last.
That's funny that you say that because mine are struggling.
Yeah.
What else we got? The longer a woman stays in your life, the more she's going to cost you.
Yeah.
Shout out to my boy Woody.
Especially if it's your kids.
Woody said that. What to say? If you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with BS.
That's it. Yeah.
Don't drink when you're playing poker.
Oh, I used to love that, though. It's a great way to kill the time, right? And if you play poker with a very tight strategy, you got to wait for your good hands, right? You can't just be playing every hand. You get bored sober.
Look at this dude. He be knowing. I don't know anything about it.
It was one of the biggest adjustments in my poker playing career when I stopped drinking because I was like, what do I do with all my time?
Yeah.
Now I just scroll TikToks waiting for good hands.
Do you feel like it was kind of a PED for you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it made you more aggressive at the right times.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's like crack for Lawrence Taylor.
I think the best sport to play, to have drinking in or do things in, is golf.
Yeah, it's very fun.
I think golf drinking is the best.
Your buddies are all out there.
It's the one seed drink sport, no question. It is.
You can have so much fun drink golf. I think I would rather do that than cards, but I'm terrible in cards, so I need to drink to play cards.
Number one drinking sport, golf, huh?
I think so.
Okay, I ain't mad at that.
Better fishing.
Yeah.
Fishing is fun.
I'm not mad at that.
Yeah.
I always think about those Newport advertisements when they show people like playing basketball and everything and lighting up some cigarettes right afterwards.
I'm telling you, man.
Get out of here. All right, what else we got? Eat your veggies. There's some random advice.
Yeah, veggies are good.
Yeah, they're really good. I like the fiber. If the women don't find you handsome, they should at least find you handy.
There you go.
Learn some skills. That is a good play. Yeah.
Don't take sleeping pills and a laxative at the same time.
Whoa.
It'll wake you up.
Yeah, about 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah.
Be real groggy stumbling to the John.
Yeah. I'll
tell you another thing, man. The older you get, don't drink anything before you go to bed. Don't drink anything. Don't, you know, ginger ale and that stuff.
You get to pee all over your mattress.
Yeah, about 3:20 in the morning, you just find yourself getting up.
You had that dream that you're already standing in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, man, sure, it's warm. Yeah, I know.
Of all of us on this show, would Woolchuck be the one guy that would do that? You think that Woolchuck would be the guy that would
accidentally pee in the bed or whatever?
No, pee like thinking he's in the bathroom.
Honestly, it's me. Like I'm such a deep sleeper. I will like sleepwalking, sleep talking.
Yeah.
That is in my past and sometimes in my present.
Okay,
yeah.
I would have guessed Woolchuck, but here we go.
Life is too short for cheap tequila. I'm with you.
Yeah, there you go, Lucy.
Premium,
me that.
Always premium.
Taught me that.
Don't ever buy the cheapest windshield wipers.
There you go. They'll be squeaking before you know it.
the rattle. Yeah, that's what you know.
It's like it's diamond cutting into your window.
Oh, I've
metal,
seen that. Yeah.
The metal.
Your dog is barking at it every time it goes across. It's crazy. Let's see. What else? How you do anything is how you do everything.
That's well said.
Never bad talk your partner to your friends.
Oh, yeah.
Dawson, you're crazy, bro. Let's see. Never trust an electrician with no eyebrows. And don't take advice from strangers on the internet.
Yay.
There you go.
Question for the Tolos. You can follow me, too, at Lucius Alexander on Facebook or at Lucky Lucius P on social media. All right. That's my time, folks. Again, my name is Lucius Alexander. I'll see you tomorrow. It's Cowboys tomorrow, right?
Cowboys
game day.
Big one. 2 hour show, probably 2 to 4.
Yeah.
Must win game show kicking in.
Al Michaels on the pregame show tomorrow. How about that?
Yeah, the 20th time he's called Cowboys Giants.
Mm.
I thought that was a little low. I thought it should be higher.
Yeah, seeing as they were basically the Sunday Night Football week one kickoff of every NFL season, it felt like.
You're going to ask him about Herb Street's dog, aren't you?
Kicking the tires, workshopping, you know. I'm just hoping Broadus doesn't screw up our interview like you do with Aaron Andrews, you know. It's really the main thing.
Yeah, it's probably not a safe bet, okay?
Hey, I did actually get some advice from one of my dad's friends one time. He says, marry a smoke show because God will change your heart, but he won't change your face.
Is that your dad?
It's my dad's friend.
Your dad's friend gave me that advice.
That's a pretty dang good... piece of wisdom right there.
Yeah, that is good. I would second that motion, right?
Yeah.
Coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation, it's time to get into some Cowboys. What do you think of the coaching question that was kicked around in the morning news today? We'll do that and more stuff coming up next. And then we have a sports hodgepodge with the Chief. It's next here in the G-Bag Nation.